Millions of people struggle with sleep, and that's why today we are going to cover sleep biohacking for longevity and better sleep. John Huff will tell us how to do this, and what's so special about John Huff is he's a renowned scientist and inventor who has made significant contributions in various fields. With expertise in human physiology, nutrition, and electronics, he has created innovative products for better health, education, and self-development. So, John, tell us about what is sleep biohacking for longevity, and how can people worldwide have better sleep?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu, mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Well, there are quite a few things you can do to improve your sleep. Biohacking is a new term, and it basically means that you're doing everything you can to promote health and longevity. And it's not only a new term, but it encompasses all the new findings from science, mostly from science, that are not necessarily well proven or established, but which people are finding work. So there are a number of biohackers who are famous out there. You can Google them, but there's David Sinclair is one, Andrew Huberman, Eric Berg. These are famous names in the biohacking community. Dave Asprey, particularly famous. And most of these people have a product, but in addition to having a range of products often that they sell, a lot of them will tell you the same thing that all the studies have found throughout all history. There are four things that you should do, can do, but if you want to live long, should do, to be healthy. And those things are take care of your diet, which means everything about nutrition, eating properly, eating the right food, eating in the right way, knowing your physiology so you know what works for you. So that's one thing. Another thing is proper exercise, which involves finding some form of exercise that you'll actually do and then doing it properly. And then the third thing is stress relief, because life can be stressful. And when we're more relaxed, we live longer and we're more healthy. And so there are a lot of things you can do for that. You can find hobbies. Meditation is particularly good. And of course, if you find a career that you like, you're going to be ideally less stressed. But the topic that always comes up is number one for longevity and health is sleep quality. So a lot of these other things you can put off a little bit and then catch up. But you can never catch up on sleep debt. In other words, if you sleep 4 hours one night and then you think, oh, the next night I'm going to sleep 9 or 10, unfortunately, the studies show that doesn't really work. You can partially make up for sleep problems and sleep debt, but not fully. So when you steal those 3 hours by staying up late or trying to do too much, you're basically just taking those hours off the end of your life. You know, you're not getting a free lunch. They come off your longevity and also overall health. So I started my career making nutritional products. That was my interest, and I didn't sleep enough, but I thought, well, it probably doesn't matter. And I made a lot of really great food products, but that is a busy field. A lot of people are into nutrition, and I kept seeing studies that showed the importance of better sleep. So I kind of moved into that, and that's been my career path the last 25 years.
Thank you. So tell us more about what is required for someone to biohack their sleep. What does that even mean? I mean, like, what does it mean? Is it that you sleep better, your sleep is of a better quality, and therefore you're more rested? And how can you even get there? What do you need to do?
Yes, exactly as you said. Sleep is fascinating, and we really don't know much about it even now. But there are three stages of sleep. Used to be four, now we call three. But we cycle through those stages throughout the night. But and people used to think that dreams were really important, and they are psychologically. But the most restorative sleep is the deepest state, when you're totally out. Your reflexes quit working. I can get into that later. It's a fascinating topic. But in order to have the best sleep, you have to do several things. One thing is, and this is a problem for many of us, you do not want to eat any food late at night. I mean, they say 3 hours before you sleep, no food. I found for me personally, even 4 or 5 hours. So the way you eat really has a huge influence on how you sleep. You and it's physiologically different for different people. So in other words, for me, I'm better if I eat two meals a day, and I eat not breakfast, and I eat a lunch fairly early, and then I eat dinner fairly early. But I wouldn't give that advice to everybody, because one thing about health is there is no one size fit all for most of it. Most of it is very personal. And when you look at ancient civilizations, which is one of my favorite things to do, because I figure, you know, if in India or China or somewhere, they had a civilization that for most purposes lasted thousands of years, they probably figured some things out. Whereas, you know, in America, I mean, we're babies. We don't know anything. We just kind of started this way of living here, but we have no sense of history or diet or anything. And so you need to find out what works for your body. But in order to do that, you have to pay attention, you have to try things. So again, on sleep, different people are better off if they sleep in different positions, side, back, stomach. There are just so many little details, and you can ask me about any of them, but it's a fascinating topic for me.
Thank you. So tell us your blueprint for someone who wants to have the best possible sleep that can lead to longevity. How can someone figure out what that means for them?
Okay. Well, you want to do some reading or Googling, because you can find online what sleep positions are best for your physiology. And in terms of the nutritional and diet influence on sleep, there are two particular ancient medical sciences, really, that will tell you how to eat properly for your type, because there is no one diet that's right for everybody. So in China, they have Chinese medicine, and in India, they have Ayurvedic medicine. And again, you can Google those, but those will tell you a lot about how you should live. Like, let me get into Ayurveda for a minute, because it's fairly easy to understand. Ayurveda is the science of self-healing, and it is a 10,000 year old system. And in, their operational, you know, rules, everything is a mixture of three qualities. There's one that is air, there's one that is fire, and earth and water are combined together. So they call that earth and water as one unit. Now, in Chinese medicine, earth and water are different, and also they have another element, metal. And that's why I don't usually get into long explanations of Chinese medicine, because it's harder to understand. You need to go to a practitioner for that. But Ayurveda, you can read a book, and in 2 or 3 hours, you'll have a fundamental beginner's grasp of Ayurveda. And that's one thing I would encourage everybody to do. There's one book called Ayurveda, The Science of Self-Healing. It's written by Dr. Vasant Ladd. He's a friend of mine. He's old now, so he doesn't see patients. But when he was younger, I used to go see him. And in Ayurveda, those three qualities, you can have a predominance of one or a balance of all at birth, but then every activity that you do also will exaggerate or quell one of the qualities. So just for example, Personally, I am an air fire person. And that, I'll tell you a joke. This is a simple way to understand Ayurveda. In Ayurveda, the air fire people, their little saying is, the air people, their saying is, I'm worried about being air, because air people worry. Think of the air. It blows around. It's not stable, but it goes places quickly. You know, air people learn very quickly, but they worry because their life is a little bit jittery. So the air person says, I'm worried about being air. Now, the fire person, that's even more obvious. You know, they have a temper, they're aggressive, they're pushy, but they get a lot done. They're usually very intelligent. And so the fire person says, I'm fire and I'm pissed off about it. And then the air, the earth and water people, they just say, water, because those people move slow and methodically, but they take things in. So their life is a lot of focus on accumulating things. And so that can be money, it can be property, but it also can be body weight. So whereas the air people are thin and flexible, and the fire people are kind of in the middle, but the earth and water people tend to gain weight. And you'll hear people say, I just look at food and I gain weight. That is literally true of the air and water people. By the way, there are names for these in Sanskrit. The air people are called Vata. The fire people are called Pitta, which the word pitting comes from the word Pitta, and the earth and water people are called Kapha. And so when you, in their language, the earth and water person goes Kapha, and that describes their physiology, because they move slow and regular, but they're basically usually fairly contented, other than that they want things. So we're getting back to now. Once you know your physiology and your type, you can eat the right foods and you can behave in the right way, so your body is settled and more relaxed. You have a better sense of who you are. And when you know who you are, you're going to be happier and you're going to be more effective in work, and you're going to be healthier and live longer.
Thank you. Tell us, what's the impact of knowing, for example, what sign you are, whether you're earth, water, and so on actually sleep biohacking? Like, how can you leverage this information to sleep better and to live longer?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Okay, so Vata people can take certain herbs and things before bed. They can drink milk with a little cardamom in it, and that will make them relax, because for better sleep, the air people, the Vata people, need to be relaxed when they sleep. And the fire people need to quit thinking when they go to sleep. They need to do something also relaxing, but not to get overstimulated, because if they do, they'll lie there and they'll be thinking and thinking, and or they'll be mad at somebody or some situation that happened. And so that's the worst for them. And the Kapha people definitely cannot eat anything near bedtime, because, as I said before, Kapha people just look at food and gain weight. Kapha people get energy out of the air. You know, the whole thing about calories is only partially true, because we can make nutrients in unusual ways and combine elements internally with greater or lesser efficiency. And the Kapha people are incredibly efficient at that. They can eat a little bit of food and their bodies can turn that into everything they need. Whereas the fire people put the food in and it burns up, but it burns so quickly that they don't necessarily create, you know, replenish their organs out of it. And the Vata people worry, and the food comes in and it goes out so quickly that it doesn't stick. So they can eat a little bit later at night, whereas the Kapha, the earth and water people, can't. But so those are things. And of course, for everybody, relaxing is important. And that second most important thing for health and longevity behind sleep is stress relief. because if you're stressed out, you're burning your body up. That's what stress does to it. It literally wears things out. It's just like if you have a machine and it's under stress, it's going to wear out. You know, it has to be oiled and it has to run at the right speed. And our bodies are the same way. We have to get the proper oils, literally, you know, like, for example, seed oils are not good. You know, eating rancid oil is very bad. So in order to be healthy, we need to do the right nutritional things. And then our body is calm and more relaxed. And then if we do some kind of meditation to totally relax, or if not that, some people think that they can't meditate, which I think is a false belief. But if they think that and they're not going to try, okay, but they need to have some sport or hobby or something they need to do. And exercise is one of the best things you can do for your sleep too, because I've read so many studies on health. I've read probably 10,000 health studies, and I don't just, you know, look at the newspaper or social media for it. I go into the actual medical sites like PubMed and The Lancet and British Medical Journal. And there are so many studies on health and sleep, but particularly exercise is another thing for better sleep, because if you sometime in the day, not too late at night, and again, for different body types, exercising the morning is good for some, at noon is good for some, mid-afternoon, but nobody should be exercising late at night. It keeps you awake and your body's trying to replenish things. So keeping active, very important, keeps everything flowing, makes for better sleep.
Thank you. Tell us about your floating bed as a tool for sleep biohacking, and why does that help for longevity and better sleep?
Well, now you've asked me about my favorite thing, because over the decades, I'm, you know, old. I've invented many nutritional products. I've invented other kinds of products. I have a very creative mind, because that air and fire together make you always create. But in reading those medical studies I was just mentioning, I started looking for nutritional things, biohacks to make your body nutritionally stronger. And that's why I know a lot about that, and I'll always be talking about that. But the interesting thing is, I would be looking at studies, and then in scrolling through, I would find a link to another study, and it talked about sleep. And then I started seeing more and more studies about sleep quality. And then when I was kind of diverted into looking at that, I found studies that showed that motion improves your sleep. If you think of your body's plumbing, basically we're a bag of water. You know, you can take your arm and you can pull, and you can see you can pull your skin, because we're a thin shell of skin and bones, but inside is 70% water. So in order to be healthier and sleep better, we need to keep our lymphatic system going. A lot of people have heard of the lymphatic system lately. It's kind of a new thing, but the lymphatic system is the other half of the blood circulatory system. So I'll make an analogy. If you think about your kitchen, you've got the kitchen sink, and you've got water coming out of the spigot under pressure. And so that water is always going to come out. As soon as you turn on that tap, nothing is going to stop it. You could try to put your finger in it, you can't, because the city is pumping water toward you. And in your sink, the drain has no pump. It's run by gravity in that case. But you can see how if the sink was filling up with water all night, but the drain wasn't running, then the sink would overflow. So if you left dishes in your sink and there was a little bit of food in there, and this was going on all night, you would come back in the morning and there would be bacteria growing in that dirty water, because it sat there, hadn't gotten rid of it. In the body, we have exactly the same plumbing with one small difference. Our heart is sending the blood and the nutrients and the oxygen into the cells, just like that spigot does in your kitchen sink. But in the body, the drain system is not the blood system. And this is an important point that people need to understand. The drain system in your body is called the lymphatic system. And that system doesn't depend on gravity so much like your kitchen. It depends on motion. So when you look at a lymphatic vessel, which look somewhat like blood vessels, there are these long, thin channels. And every tenth of an inch, there's a little one-way valve that can open and close. So imagine your cells, which are basically individual kitchen sinks in your body. I mean, they're not like some mysterious, completely unified thing. Your cells are floating in this liquid. That's why you can take your arm and squeeze it, because the cells are floating in liquid. And when your body is trying to get rid of toxins, it only does that through motion. That's how the body does it instead of using gravity. When you move, let's say that this is that little channel and this is a waste product here. I'm just making an example. When you move this way, the valve opens. When you move back, the valve closes. So this is how your body takes out the garbage. Is the more you move, the faster your lymphatic system flows. Even if, you know, all of that maybe was a bit too scientific, the fundamental take home is that when you stop moving, the lymph is stopping. So that's exactly the same as in your kitchen. If you left dirty dishes in the sink and your drain was stopped up, in your body, when you stop moving, the drain is stopped up. So that's why, and you can see this in life, that's why when you wake up in the morning, you're a little bit stiff, you're a little bit groggy, your mind is not quite working right, and it takes a while to get going. And that is because in those first few minutes or however long it takes you, you're moving around and the lymphatic fluid is starting to flow, and now it's taking the garbage out, and now you're waking up and now you're getting better. And so when I started to understand the physics of this, because I'm very interested in physiology, how the body works, but also physics. And this is a mechanical system in a way. It's not rocket science. It's just like pipes. You know, you've got these pipes in the body, and when you move around, the fluid flows through them. And when you stop moving, the heart keeps pumping, but the drain system, it stops dead. So when I realized that, I thought, wow, well, this is intriguing, because given what I've learned, I want to sleep in motion. Because if I could add motion during those 8 hours of sleep I'm getting every night, what an amazing thing that would be. I would be taking out the toxic waste products all night long. I would wake up, I would be less groggy, I would be more clear, I would be more healthy. And all the studies show all of this. It's all statistically validated. And they've done studies on people who live on boats, and those people live longer because all night the boat is rocking and the lymph is moving. And people who work on trains, because at night they're sleeping on the train, if they live on the train, like the porters and things, and they live longer because the train's rocking and it's increasing the lymphatic flow. But here's the funniest part to me. This is kind of an aside. So I came at this from the scientific side, you know, being kind of geeky and reading all these studies. I thought, oh yeah, so here's why it's good, and here's why we want more motion. And then one day I thought, but every mother in history already proved this. Every mother from time immemorial proved that when you rock a baby, that baby goes to sleep faster and he sleeps deeper. And if they wake up, you rock them again. And it's the exact same principle. We're all deficient in motion. All human beings, even if we eat right and we exercise right, we're deficient in motion. Now, if you're an athlete, you might, you know, get a lot of exercise, like the better you are, the more you're working. And so you're getting motion in the day, but you're still not getting motion at night. And so by adding motion at night, you're doing multiple really great things with no penalty, other than you have to figure out a way to get motion at night. So unfortunately, that's not the cheapest thing in the world, because the floating bed was designed to make it so it rocks all night. That's what I did. If you see back behind me, you can see examples of these floating beds here with people in them, and they hang from one point, so they rock you gently all night. It's almost imperceptible, and it's called vestibular therapy in scientific jargon, but vestibular therapy actually will eliminate motion sensitivity for most people. People, and this is a good takeaway for people, if you have motion sickness, Google vestibular therapy. There's a couple of maneuvers you can do, but particularly rocking by two mechanisms. Rocking will get rid of almost everyone's motion sensitivity. For one, few people have motion sickness when they're very young. They're born, and when you're a kid, you're running and jumping and moving all around, and your parents are trying to get you to calm down. But that's really good. That's young people, subconsciously, they know that they need this motion to keep the lymphatic system flowing. But when we get older, you know, we get more sedate and we get slowed down, and then we quit getting all this motion. And again, this is an issue of becoming deficient in motion. So if I could make an analogy, imagine that you had a summer house and you only went to it in the summer, and you showed up one summer and there was dust all over the floor. So you could do one of two things. You could sweep the floor and get rid of the dust, and everything would be great. Or you could go, oh, there's dust, I'm going to tiptoe through the dust so I won't raise any dust. The patient, people who have motion sickness are literally tiptoeing through the dust in their own bodies. What's happened is they've not had enough motion. They're deficient in motion. So slowly, toxins are accumulated and not getting flushed out by the lymphatic system. And over year by year, it's a big problem, and they don't realize it. So they do the wrong thing. They think, oh, motion makes me sick, I should have less motion. What they don't realize is they need to sweep the floor. They need to add more motion, so they sweep those toxins out, and then everything is good. They feel good. They can move. Everything flows. So the floating bed solves several of those problems in one fell swoop.
Thank you. In terms of activating the lymphatic system, is it useful to do motions up and down or sideways, or are there particular movements that need to be done for someone who, let's say, is generally working from their computer for 12 to 16 hours a day, and then let's say takes their car home and, you know, basically doesn't move a lot? Because the reason I ask you this is because I know, for example, Tony Robbins was always recommending like having like one of those rebounders or trampoline, you know, mini trampolines to have at home to activate your lymphatic system. And I'm wondering how that differs in terms of activating the lymphatic system with your bed that kind of makes side to side kind of motions, right?
Well, that's a really good question. And now I'm going to get on a soapbox because this is important to me. First of all, the bed doesn't just go from side to side. It's an omnipendulum, which means the bed can rotate in all planes and it has its own mind. It'll decide to go this way for a while. And then 2 minutes later, you'll notice it's going this way because the bearing at the top is very low friction. So, I mean, the earth's movement and your breathing and the subtlest air current in the room will keep the bed moving all night long, which is fortunate. By the way, those lymphatic valves, as I said, are a tenth of an inch apart. So if you're moving more than a tenth of an inch, you're getting lymphatic flow. Now, obviously, moving more, like moving a foot, is better than a tenth of an inch. But if you can do anything at all, you want to at least move, say, a quarter of an inch or so. So in terms of sitting in a computer, I have some bad news for you. There are many studies that show that the longer you sit at a desk without moving, the earlier you die. And this is a straight line equation. The people who sit for 8 hours die younger than the people who sit 6 hours, who die younger than the 4 hours and then the 2 hours. So there are some rules about this, and we all know them. We just have to actually do them. I have to remind myself too, you have to get up every few minutes. You can get a standing desk. You can just occasionally stand up and type or talk. But doing that every few minutes actually has a really beneficial effect, because the problem really happens when you're going for like an hour or so and you're not moving, because over that long time, the limp really gets trapped and you don't want that to happen. So, you know, you want to every few minutes get up and move around. I mean, you know, we can do it right now. We can get up and we can just, any kind of move that we do, we can stand up and then we can sit back down again. And you'll notice when you do that, you kind of get a lift. In fact, there's a sales technique, and I'm a horrible salesperson, I will be the first to tell you. I'm a really good inventor. I'm a good scientist. I'm good at figuring things out, but I'm not a sales guy. But the sales guy, they have all these rules. And one of them is, if they're on a phone call, they stand up when they're trying to sell something, because it's been shown that when you stand up, everything is activated. Your lymphatic system is flowing, your heart's pumping a little bit faster, and standing up energizes you and it makes you live longer. The one lucky thing about the floating bed is that at least when you have one, you're getting lymphatic flow at night. So even though maybe everything else in your life is not perfect, having motion during the night for 8 entire hours goes a long way to curing other problems. That motion puts you into the deeper stages of sleep faster, and you stay in those stages longer. There are a lot of EEG studies on this. That's the most quantitative proof of the benefits of better sleep and of motion in sleep is the EEG studies, because they can measure brain waves. And, you know, it's like the diagnostic computer in a car that tells you what's wrong with it. EEG is like that for your body. So if you go to an EEG person, they put sensors on your head, and then they can tell everything that, we're getting better at it, but they can tell a tremendous amount of information about what's going on in your body. And so they find that having motion and sleep is a panacea. A panacea is something that heals everything.
Thank you. Tell us more about the activation of the lymphatic system. Are there any specific movements someone would need to make in order to activate it, or any sort of movement would do it? Let's say if you're walking or playing tennis or swimming, is that considered activating the lymphatic system, and which activity activates it most?
Yeah, and you just reminded me, I got long-winded. You ask about the rebounder. And so here's the thing about your organs. Again, we're a bag of water, and your organs are sitting in your abdomen, and there's a band of muscles under those organs that hold them up. Now, the rebounder has one good effect and one really bad effect. The good effect is it gets the lymphatic system going big time, and that's important. But unfortunately, the bad effect is so bad that it's worse than the good effect unless you counteract it. So the bad effect is that on a rebounder, once you get partly up in the air, it's gentle. You're going in a gentle curve like this, and you're coming down. So when that happens, your organs are moving up very gently. But when you hit the bottom, you slam down really hard, and that prolapses your organs. It's called prolapse. It pushes your organs down, and that's really, really bad. And because the two halves of this cycle are not even, the downward force is stronger than the upward force. To give an example, let's say that, you have a basket and it's on a shelf and it's stuck for whatever reason, or it's really heavy. So you pull and you can't get it to move. But if you jerk it, it will move. And the thing is, though, of course, you don't want to jerk too hard because you can pull a muscle. So rebounding is like that. When you land on that little trampoline, you're jerking the organs down. But when you go up in the air, you're not jerking them back up. So the forces are not even. You know, again, the body is driven by a lot of very simple physics. So you can fix that to some extent, though. And that's why in yoga and in Chinese exercises, there's so many upside down poses. You hang upside down, you bend over a lot, you do shoulder stands or head stands in yoga. So, and even if you didn't rebound, you still would want to do those, because just living all day, gravity is pushing our organs down, and the plumbing in our body is dependent on everything being in the right place. I know a healer in Las Vegas, and he's amazing. And most of his work is that he just puts your plumbing back where it's supposed to be. And I've seen for myself, but also I sent 50 people to this guy, and he will just basically move their organs back to the spot they're supposed to be. And they have miraculous cures, just because when your organs prolapse and things go wrong, your body's going to quit working as well.
Thank you. So, for example, skipping rope, is it a similar effect in terms of a lymphatic system activation? It can be very good for lymphatic system activation, but really bad for organs prolapsing.
Did you say sleeping on a boat?
No, it's a skipping rope.
Skipping rope. No, yeah. That's better. You know, even running does a little bit of prolapsing, but skipping rope is better, because the rebounding is such a hard impact when you hit the bottom. Not just hard, but it's pushing you a long way. And even jogging, you're only going up, you know, a few inches, but the rebounder, you're going up far. You know, I don't want to put people off on the rebounder, because rebounding is good, but I want to really emphasize, if you're going to do that, but spend time upside down, you know, or, you know, is a corollary. One thing about the floating bed is, because it rocks back and forth and in all directions, your organs know where they want to be. See, and one of the restorative things about sleep is, when we're lying down, the organs can kind of move back, but the gentle rocking encourages them to move back, because you know, you can imagine a thing that's out of place, but if you move it back and forth, if it knows where it wants to be, it'll gradually move back to where it wants to be. We use this you probably never pan for goal, but there's an example of panning for goal. The goal knows where it wants to be because it's heavy, and that's how you get it out of the water. And there are other examples I could think of. So having this motion at night is a really good thing. You know, I'll tell you another really good thing about the floating bed, which is that the bad news is you have to buy one. But the good news is, once you do, it never costs you another dime. It's like, okay, you can take nutritional supplements, or you can eat higher quality food, organic food, you know, you can get exercise. All these things take time and they take money. And more or less of both. I mean, I know enough about nutrition now. I can tell you that if you really wanted to do all the known nutritional things that you should do every month, it would cost you $5,000 a month. I mean, it's sad, but that's just the way it is. Science has learned all of these things that we know about that really can help your body. Like one, this is obscure, but there's a thing called deuterium depleted water, and this water comes from ice caps far up north, and it has the radioactive element deuterium is not in it. And when we drink regular water, we're drinking mildly radioactive water. And if you spend $1,000 a month, you can have this deuterium depleted water shipped in, and you cook with it and you drink it. And, you know, okay, $1,000 a month, maybe you would live a year and a half longer. And some rich people, they do these things. There's a guy, Brian Johnson, one of the most famous biohackers, who I've never heard him speak about that, but he spends $1 million a year being healthy. But all of these biohackers, every single one of them will tell you, even if they're selling their product, when any time you see them on a podcast, the interviewer will ask them, what's the most important thing you can do for your health? And they will say, get better sleep. Everybody agrees. Sleep is number one. The studies show it. We know it. It's something you can't make up for. And so having a floating bed, okay, there's a one-time cost. But then, unlike, you know, supplements and exercise and things that take time and money, you'll never have to spend that. You're getting the benefit of that bed all night long without it taking any time and without having to spend any more money on it. So that is an amazing thing. And that's one of the reasons I invented it, because I'm busy. I have such a life, so much going on, like even worse than most people. And anytime I can do two things at once, I like doing that, multitasking and being able to have lymphatic flow and wake up quicker and brighter in the morning. And even if I get not quite enough sleep, I wake up and I'm ready to go. The floating bed is a miracle for that.
Thank you. Do you have any case studies of entrepreneurs or people who have used the floating bed? And what did you notice from the effect of them using the bed?
Okay, I can tell you several things. Our company is still not big, and medical studies are very expensive. So I don't have the studies on my bed that I would like to have, my specific bed, although there's a university that's agreed for a fairly modest fee to do EEG studies where they can measure your sleep, and that'll be happening within a year. But there are hundreds of pre-existing studies on rocking and sleep. And I, you know, if a person goes to my website, it's floatingbed.com, you know, just floatingbed.com. I've got some studies there. You have to poke around, find the menus, but I've got studies there that are about the various benefits of sleeping in motion. And then, though, we have testimonials. I've got a testimonial page on there, too, and you can see what all the people say about sleeping in motion. And there are several things that people say. For one, post-operative recovery and childbirth have a toll on the body, and the lymphatic system has a hard time keeping up with that, especially post-operative recovery, because what happens when you have an operation or have any kind of hurt to your body is you have swelling. And swelling is almost just as simple as the fact that the blood is rushing into somewhere where there's a cut or, you know, a problem, but the lymphatic system cannot take the toxins out fast enough. Whenever you have that problem, the white blood cells are going in there, scavenging and things, but they can't move out fast enough because the channels are blocked. So when you add motion, then you're taking out the garbage faster. So there are a lot of studies on post-operative recovery in motion. There's these machines they're called CPM, continuous passive motion machines. So for people who have certain kind of hand or leg operations, they sleep with this machine, and all night long, it's just moving their hand to keep the lymphatic system going. And if you ever watch kids, what do they do if they hurt themselves? Like if a kid hurts his finger, he shakes his finger. It's an automatic response. And when you're adult, you're kind of thinking, well, why is he doing that? Well, it's a natural systemic knowledge. Your body knows that when you move, you're going to increase the flow. But the child could never explain that, of course. One thing that almost all floating bed people say is they go to sleep faster and they wake up better. Here's a story I've heard hundreds of times, because we got a lot of beds out there now. And, you know, There are three things people worry about the bed. First of all, they think, well, I don't know if I can afford it. And they don't realize that in anything that you buy, if you're logical, you should look at the cost to benefits ratio. That is to say, how much does it cost and what benefits do I get? So if it cost $1,000 and there weren't many benefits, you wouldn't do it. But if it cost $1,000 and there were huge benefits, you would want to do that if you were logical, which, you know, we don't make all our decisions logically, but if we did. So that's the one thing people say, well, it's kind of expensive. Maybe I'll put it off. They don't realize that by putting it off, they're just putting out the benefits and they're never going to get that time back. You know, if you heard about the bed today and then you waited 5 years to buy it, well, that's 5 years you went without benefits. And just like you can never replace your sleep debt, you will never get that 5 years back. The second thing people think is, oh, well, my ceiling couldn't hold it. My ceiling will fall down. Well, that's a false worry because any carpenter can put the floating bed in. And I mean, we've got them in many countries where people don't even speak English. And the carpenter looks at the manual, it's got pictures, and they put the bed in and the ceiling doesn't fall down. And then some people think, well, the motion is going to bother me. But as I said before, the opposite is true. Well, I didn't get into that. I should say this. Here's another thing people say. People think the motion's going to bother me. But what we found is because when you get that motion, your subconscious brain likes that motion. And since your body only has a two-word language, it can say pleasure or pain. You know, it can't elaborate. It just says, you know, if you're doing something good, it says pleasure. If you're doing something bad, it says pain. So when you're having this gentle rocking, not violent, but gentle rocking at night, your body sends pleasure. And because of that, when there are couples sleeping in a floating bed, everyone tells me the same thing. They have an agreement. Somebody gets up to go to the bathroom in the night. They get out and they push the bed, give the person extra rocking. And then they come back. And when they get in the bed, they push it again. So this is clear evidence that the rocking will not bother you. It'll actually put you deeper into sleep. And that's what the studies show too. Studies show that when you're rocking, your EEGs go into the better states that indicate healing. But here's the other thing. I distracted myself. I didn't want to forget this. And I've heard this so many times, and it's a funny thing, but so many people have told me the same story of the day that their floating bed got installed. So the floating bed arrives, it comes UPS, it's all in a box. The carpenter takes it out. He spends a day, maybe even 2 days, you know, putting the mount in the ceiling so it will never fall down. Every bed is rated for 1,000 pounds. Nobody's ever broken a floating bed. So he does the same thing to the ceiling, not rocket science, just carpentry. And so the person says, yeah, the bed came and the carpenter was there. He unfolded the bed. He put the thing in the ceiling and he hung it. And, you know, there was some dust. He made kind of a mess and it was, you know, not my favorite thing, but okay. And then I made myself some dinner and I ate dinner. And then I went in, it was like 8 o'clock, and there's the bed. And for the first time, I thought, oh, well, this is all out of the way now. I'm going to try the bed. And they say over and over, they say, I lay down in the bed and I was on my back and I just lay there for 2 minutes. And then I woke up and it was 4 a.m. and I had not moved. And I felt incredible because when the bed is moving, you don't toss and turn. See, the whole reason that we toss and turn at night is because the lymphatic system has quit flowing. And so in a desperate attempt to reestablish fluid flow, we move. You know, we go here, or you get a little cramp in your arm and you move here. Well, when the bed is rocking you, none of that happens. The bed is automatically creating that flow. And so it's one less thing you have to do, and it's way more comfortable.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs and people worldwide can connect with you and find out more information about the floating bed.
Yeah, I encourage you to go to the website. It's floatingbed.com. There is a lot of information there. In fact, more than most people even want to read. What I found is Some people who are like me, really curious about all this stuff, will read almost everything on it. And that would take you, you know, probably an hour or two. But a lot of other people just, they read enough to get the idea and they call me up. And I like that because people have very specific questions, just like you had specific questions and they were great. And another person might have different ones. But when somebody calls me up, I don't mind taking the time. It's no bother for me because I'm proud of the floating bed and I want everybody to be healthier. I mean, that's my business mission and it has been all my life. So go to floatingbed.com, read as much as you want, and then call me up because you may think your room's not big enough, or you may think you want the bed indoors, or you may think you want it outdoors. Here's another funny thing. A lot of people think, oh, well, I wouldn't want to sleep that way. That just sounds like too much. And it would look funny in my bedroom. And I don't want to do that. That's just strange. I'm going to put it in my living room. And over, a year later, people are telling me, well, I had the carpenter put them out in the living room, and then the next thing I knew, I'm sleeping in the living room every night. So now I got to have the carpenter come put them out in my bedroom, or else I'm just going to sleep in the living room from now on. And the outdoor bed people, though, that's kind of a plus that maybe they didn't think about, because when you put a floating bed outdoors, maybe you've got a porch that's covered, but it's still you're in the night air, or maybe even you get our stand and it's totally in the yard and we have a tent, teepee tent that covers it. So you can sleep in it in a horrendous rainstorm or anything. Those people have a benefit of literally living in nature, because when we live in a house, we have no idea how cut off we are from the natural world of our ancestors. You know, our ancestors, they were outside in nature. I mean, even if they had some hut of some kind or in a cave, you're hearing the little animal noises and you're feeling the breezes. And for millions, well, all animals for all history, and certainly our ancestors for millions of years lived that way. And now we're in these boxes that are all closed in and we don't hear those noises. And so we're cut off from that. And when you're in a floating bed in the yard, even if you just do it on a summer night, suddenly it changes your mentality. I slept in one for 6 months once. I put it in the yard. I was in Southern California in the forest and I had a house, but I did a clever thing. I had a house and I rented my bedroom to somebody else and I slept in the floating bed for 6 months. So the bed paid for itself because I got more in rent than it cost to even build the bed. But, I found that it was amazing because there are coyotes and there are even mountain lions there. And I would be at night asleep and I'd hear a horse down the road wintering and I'd hear a peacock walking around or a deer. It was just fascinating. And it somehow makes you a natural human being again.
Thank you so much.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.